Hope you're all doing well this morning. You got any dog lovers in the room today? Any dog lovers? I mean, I really do love dogs. When I was young, I had a dog that died, and so I pretended like I didn't like dogs anymore. And then about 8 years ago, my family got a dog, and all those walls just came down, tearing down. It was great. His name's Cisco, and when we first got our dog, we had him for a few months, and we did something bad. We lost our dog. And when you have two young girls and a wife, and you lose your dog, it's not a good moment for you. It's not a good moment for you, especially if they think you did it. And so somehow the dog got lost. I don't know what was going on. And so many tears, many people upset and frantic searching, running through the neighborhoods. Ah, we lost our dog. We lost our dog. And people out helping us look for the dog. Some time goes by, maybe a few hours go by, and it was starting to not look good. And then I thought, you know what? My dog hates my motorcycle. And so whenever I would start my motorcycle, my dog Cisco would, if the doors were open, would run out of the house and try to attack my motorcycle. It hates it that much. So I said, what do you know? What, maybe. And so I start the motorcycle up, and sure enough, from out of nowhere, Cisco shows up and starts to attack my motorcycle. It was great. It was a great moment. So we found our dog. But somehow while Cisco was lost, he had gone to some pretty dark places, okay? He had found some dead things and rolled around in them for probably the whole 3 hours, I think, the way he smelled. He went into bushes and got burrs and stuff all over his fluffy tail because he's a little Pomeranian. He thinks he's a husky, but he's not. And just stinky. His face was a different color because he had gotten so much dirt and grime. I don't know what he was doing. There's time, but it was pretty messed up. But you know, as soon as he came back, we didn't care how dirty he was. Didn't care how many burrs he had on him. Didn't care that his face was all disgusting. Didn't care that he literally had rolled around in dead things and stunk like a dead thing. All of a sudden, everybody's happy, we're celebrating, Haley's petting the stink on the dog, and Kyla's happy, and Jen's happy. It was just one of those moments you don't forget, like those kind of reunion, happy moments. But remember, it did not matter where our dog had been. We were thrilled that he was home. Jesus told a story to some tax collectors, or a teaching to some tax collectors and Pharisees, Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep. I do not have 100 sheep. Not like this. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loves, and you lose one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls all his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. That's why heaven will be celebrating like crazy when we all go home to Jesus at this church, all right? suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins and loses one, doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. One of the great passages of the Bible. One of the great teachings of Jesus. I've discovered that when people are wandering off, when they get distracted, and they do this, that they get lost. You just kind of lose your way. You forget your way back. You somehow become blinded to where home is. And sometimes when you are lost, something else happens. You get stuck. And you know, nobody ever plans on getting stuck. It just kind of happens. You thought, you know, just make a quick left-hand detour. I'll get right back on track, and next thing you know, you're stuck. But I want you to know this, that it does not matter where you are at, if you are lost, wandering, stuck. When you are lost, you are still important to God. And when you are stuck, you are still important to God and valuable to God. Because people remain valuable in spite of our lost conditions that we get ourselves into. It doesn't change our value. But look at your neighbor and say, you are valuable. You are valuable. Now, a few years ago, the church bought a mansion. It's a true story. You might not know this. We bought a, it's over on Washington Street. We call it a mansion because it's over 7,000 square feet. It's a single family house, right? We actually broke it up and we have lots of different staff living over there. We call it the mansion because it's so huge. I can fit six of my houses into it. It's a huge building. And it kind of looks like it's out of the movies and it's all kind of haunted looking, honestly, because we haven't fixed the outside yet, just the inside. And so you go over there and it looks like the kind of place you would find treasures in. Like, oh, we're going to find bars of gold in this building or something like that, some ridiculous thing. And my youngest daughter, Haley, whenever we go over there, she insists on going treasure hunting in the mansion. So sometime Roy takes her treasure hunting in the mansion. And I'm always like, Haley, don't get your hopes up. You know, like, it's probably not going to be a bar of gold hanging around or something. One day, Pastor Roy texts me a picture. And this picture is of treasure. It's of treasure. And it turns out that while they were fixing something, they found a board, like a floorboard that was loose, and they pulled up the floorboard, and what do you know? Underneath this floorboard was a can, and like an ancient can, like early 1900s can, and it was loaded from bottom to top with silver coins. Silver coins. It wasn't gold, it was silver, okay? Silver coins. There was also some gold jewelry and some other things like from back in the day. And it turns out that we were able to sell all of the treasure we found for a couple thousand dollars. Now, that's not a bad find, all right? I'd be open to many of these moments, and it was great. I'm like, Haley just knew. There's going to be treasure in the mansion, and sure enough, somebody found it. But can I tell you, the coins that got stuck under this floorboard, they were stuck there because the person forgot about them. Clearly, they forgot that they had done this, and they've been there for decades. Multiple decades had passed. But do you know the whole time the coins were stuck underneath the floorboard, they were still valuable? They were valuable the entire time that they were stuck. The coins just needed to be found and unstuck in order to be used. Right? And sometimes people get stuck, and they just need to get unstuck. And we need to find them. We need to let them get unstuck. That's part of our responsibility with God. And so I want to show you the heart of God in this matter. In verse 4, it said that the shepherd goes after the lost sheep until he finds it. He goes after. He takes the initiative to go and find the lost sheep. Because the one sheep was important to the shepherd. In modern day America, in the global economy, a businessman might expect a certain percentage of his business to take a loss, or he might lose a little bit of a product from this thing. People steal it, or it gets broken, or it gets lost or misplaced. And somebody might just accept this as basic business practice. But in the kingdom of God, people are the business, and it's never okay to lose even one. God is always going to go after it. And in that, we see the heart of God for us and for all of humanity. He's not okay. God is not okay with even one of his creation being lost. And he is aggressively and actively seeking out each and every person that is lost or stuck or wandering. That's where the words from the old hymn come from. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Just to make sure you understand, you and I, we don't find ourselves. We were lost and God found us. Jesus promises here that I will search for the lost, those that are wandering, those that are stuck, and I will bring back strays. And friends, if you've ever lost your way, and I know that most of you have, this is a promise from God. If you've ever been too curious and you just got off track, Jesus is coming to get you. He's coming to find you. He's coming to rescue you. If you've ever been crushed by doubt or fear and found yourself in spiritual darkness, Jesus says, listen carefully, I'm coming for you. Because lost people are worth looking for. They're valuable. It's also important to note that as Jesus tells this parable, he's making a stand. He's making a stand at the most vulnerable people, the most unprotected people, those that are in the darkest places, those people are valuable too. Don't worry about where they are. Just help them get out. I love these people, Jesus would say, even if everybody else on the planet thinks they are unlovable. If Jesus were walking right here with us today, and in some sense he is, I think he would look at us as a church and he would say, go. Go and find them. Go and bring them in. Go out into the streets and go out into the alleys and go get them. The people that everybody else has forgotten about, the people that everybody else thinks is worthless, the people that everybody else doesn't even remember their name, go get them. Those kids that roam the street at night because they have no place to stay, go get them. The mentally ill that live in darkness, go. Go get them. The physically broken and handicapped, go. Go get them. The elderly that live alone, go get them. The single mom that is in so far over her head, she has no idea what to do, go get them. The man that has lost his family because he's been so focused on pursuing success, go get them. The sexually confused that live in emotional and spiritual isolation, go get them. I will say this, that over the last 17 and a half years, I think we've done a pretty good job at this. And let me say this to you. The truth is, we do a better job at it than most. But I want to teach you something right now. God has never once called us to compare ourselves to what other people do. We must always simply respond to the call that God has placed upon us as people and us as a church. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. What matters is what are we supposed to do. God has called us to do something great, and we are. We've been instructed in Scripture that to whom much is given, much is required. And I want to tell you, we've been given much, and much is required of us. So I say again, who will reach out and start a ministry to the elderly, and who will bring life and assistance to single moms, and who will step up and lead our new small groups, and who is going to lead a ministry and fill this place up with wheelchairs and every kind of broken physical situation, and who will create a ministry to those that excel at the fine arts, and who will bring hope to heroin addicts and alcoholics and crack addicts and walk them through their recovery process and journey? Who will bring freedom to the relationally broken and conflicted so they can find their true and perfect identity in Christ? Reality is we have a couple dozen pretty great ministries here at East Coast, but our cities desperately need a couple dozen more. And after we do a couple dozen more, they're desperately going to need a couple dozen more after that. So it's time. It's time. It's time for you to develop your gifts. Time to develop your leadership and not be afraid of what it is God's calling you to do. Flood our ministries with so many workers and leaders that we are able to start even more. And if for some reason you've just been waiting, you've just kind of benched yourself and you're waiting, I want to say to you today, stop waiting. Stop waiting. Bloom where you are planted. Go ahead. Listen, God brought you here. I didn't bring you here. God brought you here. And he has a purpose for you here. And he wants to use you right here. You've got something in you that God thinks is special. You've got something in you that God wants to use. And so I say, let's do this thing. Let's do this thing. Why don't you tell your neighbor, let's do this thing. Let's do this thing. Now, if you just told your neighbor, let's do this thing, that's not what I said. Let's do this thing, okay, with an A. Let's do this thing. The months of April and May in our history as a church were the first 2 months in our history that we've averaged over 500 people in weekly attendance. Now, that's a big deal. This has been our goal for 18 months. 18 months ago, we were 360 people in average attendance. And in 18 months, we set that goal. The goal was for a year. We missed it. 12 months. But 18 months, we got it. Not too bad. That's not too bad. We actually nailed it and did a great job. Congratulations, everybody. Why don't you give each other a high five? You did a good job. You did a good job. Now, you're like, what's a high five? Wait, somebody give me a high five, an air high five right here. Like, boom, there we go. Revere. Come on, Revere, right there. Right there. But do you know why it's important? It's not because it's a number. It's not because it's just more. It's because the numbers represent people. And people are the most important thing in the world. And so if we have more people, we are doing a better job reaching more people, not just having more numbers. And just in case you forgot this, you are a people. You are one of the most important, you are the single most important things in the world to God, people. And because people are important, as soon as we hit that goal, we immediately set a new goal. Guess what? For more buildings? No, for more people. Why? Because people are the most important to God. We have a new goal set. The goal is to be 1,000 people by the end of 2021. If I had more faith, it would be by the end of this year. All right, but breathing here. Isaiah 53:6 says this: we all like sheep have gone astray. Meaning we all wander off, we all make mistakes. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him, meaning Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Meaning God places upon Jesus our sin, our failures, our errors, our mistakes, things that have kept us from God. God places them on Jesus so that we can be close. It means that even though we've wandered off and done our own stuff, Jesus doesn't want us to stay lost. He wants us to come home. And for those of you that are already home with Jesus, please remember, it is our single and primary mission to make sure that we help those that are lost to come home. It's the absolute most important thing we do. We're going to watch a mini movie here, just a brief mini movie. In the story, the girl really represents us, humanity, and the dad really represents the heart of God. Let's watch it together. As the worship team comes up, I want to set this as we close. The question today, the question from God for you today is very simply, will you dance with your papa again? If you've been lost like the coin, or if you've been wandering like the sheep and found yourself stuck, God says, I know where you are. I know what you do. I still love you. Will you please come home? Wherever you're at, Remember this, God seeks after us. He grieves over our lostness. He finds us. He rejoices over our return. Today, or if on your journey, you have been awakened, spiritually awakened to your true condition, it's as simple as this, an honest confession of your sin to God, and a return to the Father through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you all to stand with me, if you would. Just a moment, the worship team will close us with this song. During that time, you can sing with them, or if you'd like to spend some time in prayer today, you can come to the altar and pray. Maybe there's something within you that just needs to recognize you need to be on mission with God. Maybe somehow you've landed in an unintentional palace of judgment and condemnation towards people. Maybe you need to take on the heart of God. Seek out, find the lost. Maybe today, you're one of those that have wandered off. All of us in this room have been there at some point. But maybe you walked in here today and the truth is you've been wandering and you're lost and you're stuck. This is a reminder today for you that you can come home. You can come home to Jesus. But it all starts with just a simple conversation with God. Something as simple as, God, I've been far from you, and I want to come home. I accept your forgiveness that Jesus offers me. It's time for me to stop trying to lead my own life and to let you lead it for me. It's the heart of the conversation. As the worship team leads us in this, if you'd like to spend some time praying today, why don't you make your way forward and just connect with God today that way. Father, today, thank you that while we were lost, wandering, stuck, confused, frightened, unaware of how to make our own way out, you came for us through your Son, Jesus. Thank you that you left the 99 to come and reach us as one, so that we might be in right relationship with you, that we might be part of your kingdom and assist in finding those also that are lost and wandering and stuck. Would you help us today to have your heart for the world around us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Have a great week, and go get somebody this week. Go get them. Go get them. Tell your neighbor, go get them. Go get them. Go get them. Go get them.